comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place called Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. This is the show where you really matter. Have you subscribed to the K-Files e-zine? You know, I mention it every night. But then, again, we have new listeners every night, right? And so they don't know about it. And then some of you, well, you have to hear things a few times before you finally decide to do it. And it's only been 6 years for you. I'll get nasty email because people don't have a sense of humor. But anyway, K-Files is our free weekly newsletter. And it comes in your email. And we send it out every Friday. We start right after the show on Friday night. And so I encourage you, if you're not subscribed, be sure you subscribe. Just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe, all right? You know, one of the things we've talked about here on the show quite often is this new space race. And, you know, I've said everybody that can build a rocket and light a fire in the tail of the bird is getting into the space race. Well, of course, we're getting out of it. But here in the USA, we're turning our backs on manned space exploration. But the rest of the world is interested in getting into space. Do you know who the newest entrant is? Bolivia. Bolivia has, the president of Bolivia has just signed a declaration forming their space agency. And do you know who is providing the expertise for them to be able to build and launch their first satellite? The Chinese. And according to Bolivia, the Chinese experts have already arrived, and they will be assisting and overseeing the construction of this satellite that Bolivia is going to build and launch. So another nation enters the space race, and it's going to be very, very crowded up there if everyone does it. And I suspect everyone who can scrape together enough capital and enough spare parts to build a rocket is going to get into space. Last night on the show, I brought you the breaking news update. And that update had to do with Dr. Lakhdar Filipov. And the fact that we were able now to confirm that he is literally surrounded by these former secret police, secret security agents, their version of KGB. He's literally surrounded by these folks at the Bulgarian Academy of Science. And we were able to confirm that. We also told you there that these guys are... The former DS, the former security agents, are involved in organized crime. Overnight, they arrested one of the top organized crime guys. Guess what he is? You're right. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. You know, Dr. Gerald Epling has been with us many times. Sometimes I call him Arthur Epling, sometimes Gerald Epling. Both of those are his name. It's the same person. But he's been with us before, and I quote him quite often, and I refer to his work quite often, even when I'm talking with other guests, and it's always a privilege to have him with us. Doctor, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always good to talk with you.
Doctor, for those who are new and are not familiar with you, let me bring them up to speed just a moment. Dr. Epling received his Bachelor of Science degree in computer science from the University of Texas at Dallas. And he also received a Master's of Science degree in Applied Cognition and Neuroscience from the University of Texas at Dallas. And he received a PhD for studies and research in the field of cognition and neuroscience from the University of Texas at Dallas. And his research focused on models of memory formation. In addition to that, he has conducted some experiments that pretty much blew me away. At first, when I first heard about them, and I've told you this before, Doctor, you know this. When I first heard that that he was doing experiments with plants, I really was not too impressed because I've read other people who have done experiments with plants. And we've all been made familiar with the fact that, you know, if you talk to plants, they respond better, they grow better. If you play music for them, they grow better. And that's really true and has been proven scientifically. And I thought, okay, well, it's just more of that. But when I got into what he was up to, it blew me away. Because he's been able scientifically to document that plants not only respond to you talking to them, and not only do they respond to you playing music, they respond to your thoughts. And he's been able to measure that response with scientific instruments. And we've had some pretty deep discussions about that, in which I have tried to convince him, unsuccessfully, I think, but, you know, if they're responding to our thoughts, my thought is that there is some level of consciousness about those plants, because thoughts are consciousness in action. And it's a conscious thing you're doing when you think. And so if they're responding to thoughts at some level, there's consciousness about them. They're able to receive and to know at least that you're thinking. And in fact, he's been able to document they respond when you think ill of them. So they interpret those thoughts in some way. Now, I think he would disagree with that. But tonight, we're not going to be talking about plants so much. But tonight, we're going to be talking about some new research that you've been doing on magnetism. Doctor, just sort of bring us up to date on what you're doing with magnetism.
Right. Well, when I was working with plants, I looked at the voltages that the plants would produce, and I had to make very exacting and special voltmeters to get those readings. But I know that whenever a voltage is expressed and a current is drawn, a magnetic field is formed. So I knew that there was an electromagnetic event going on behind that. So I thought, after doing a lot of work in the voltage field, I would look into the magnetic line of it. So two sides of the same coin. They're the same phenomena expressed differently. So I started working with magnets that I could buy over the Internet. And I found that the North Magnetic Pole would make plants feel good. They seem to really like the North Magnetic Pole. Their electrophysiological responses show that that was somehow a good thing for them. And the South Pole seemed to be somewhat stimulating, and I couldn't quite decide if that was good or bad, but it was definitely more stimulating to them. So then I started looking at the literature to see what people were doing with magnets. And there's a lot of literature where a person will say, well, I got a magnet and I put it on this part of the body for these subjects, and we saw this change or that change. But there's very few studies actually say that they used the north pole of the magnet or the south pole. So I began to think about this in relation to consciousness. If you look into the work of Marino and Becker, they did some studies with a salamander where they found that the front of the head would have a slight negative charge in relation to the back of the head. So then they thought, well, what if we just put some current that's in a different direction through the little salamander's head? What would happen? So they tried that with about 30 microamps, and the salamander appeared to go unconscious. So that was interesting. Then they tried the opposite. They tried to take a drug salamander and make it come back into alert status, and that was a little more difficult. And that really sums up how we ended up with pharmaceuticals more than electronics in the field of medicine. If you're going in for surgery, sure, you could probably work out a way to induce a loss of consciousness with electrical fields, but you might be able to shake it off in an instant and be fully awake, and that would be bad if you were having surgery. So it makes sense to use drugs and chemicals to put people under for surgery. So maybe there aren't any really good medical uses in that regard, but maybe you could use this to check your health. And since we now have an indication of when consciousness is fading and when consciousness is growing stronger, we could use these voltage readings and see if a person's being influenced by perhaps an electromagnetic field in a negative way. And that is the beginning of my recent line of research.
You have discovered that strong magnets can actually affect the taste of juice and water and, I suppose, food. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. The white wine, there's a certain magnetic field, and I worked with a colleague on this, so he won't let me say much about the exact details. But basically, we put a special electromagnetic field out in the air that was alternating, and specific sound waves and specific changes in the sound waves, all the time maintaining a certain magnetic field under the wine so that the wine would seem to mature. And people who taste the red wine say that they do seem to mature, and it makes an inexpensive bottle of wine taste a bit better. So that was a good breakthrough. Then with water, we found that the same frequencies that worked on wine didn't work on water. So we had to change it a little bit, experiment, and we found that we could make water taste sweeter. It became just slightly more alkaline, and it was really a good thing. I used that in a mint experiment where I cut some mint off of the same plant and put it into some water that was treated with the soothing electromagnetic energy. And that plant grew without putting out very many roots. It seemed very pleased and was able to get plenty of water without having to put on large root structures. But other waters seemed to challenge the plants. They had to put out longer roots. So that was an indicator that there would also be a good soothing field on the north polarity, on the north side of the magnet. So I've wanted to get this word out. I ordered some therapy magnets. I thought, well, this would be great. And when I received them, they had the letter N on them, so I thought, oh, that's great. So I put my hand over them, because after you work with this stuff for a while, you get to a sense. You can sort of feel if you're in a good day, which side's north, which side's south. Just to back myself up, I have a Gauss meter that I use. The north magnetic field has a negative B field, so there'd be negative Gauss readings there. South side has a positive field. And I noticed the side marked with the N was the south pole of the magnet, and I thought, now that's odd. That's kind of like throwing a person a curve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would they do this? So I scratched my head, and then I dug out my dictionary from the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, looked up magnet permanent, and I saw in there that it was a standard established a long time ago, probably influenced by navigation, that you would take the north-seeking side of a magnet and mark that with the letter N, or paint it red, or put a plus sign on it. Well, okay, the N is the north-seeking side, the red, okay, that's a convention. And then the plus, that must be the plus B field. So it kind of made sense if you pulled a magnet out of a box and you were hoping it could help you find the North Pole, North magnetic direction, then you could use it for that. But it's misleading if you're trying to find the North Pole of the magnet, because the South Pole of the magnet points to the North Pole of the Earth.
Okay, now let me interrupt for just a moment and underscore a couple of things here and ask a question.
Certainly.
First of all, you have told us that the polarity of the magnetic field can affect the consciousness. In other words, it can make the salamander become unconscious.
Actually, that's the polarity of a current. Electrodes and put a little power in there.
Okay. Now, but we'll hold that thought because that's related to the question. But the next thing is that you've told us that it can affect the chemistry of the drinks, the chemistry of water, the chemistry of the wine. It actually does chemical changes in these, and I would assume it would do chemical changes in just about anything it comes in contact with, right?
It's not a change. It doesn't transmute anything, but it apparently rearranges things to such an extent that whatever is in there is made to taste just a little bit better. But it doesn't. It's an interesting phenomenon, and I don't fully understand it. But I can take the bottle, a sealed bottle, and perform this operation on it, and then the wine tastes better. So I know there's something going on in there.
Okay, here's the question.
Yes.
Because we've talked about magnetism, and we've talked about voltage, a current.
Right.
All right. Is voltage a result of magnetism, or is magnetism a result of voltage?
The voltage before it's connected to anything doesn't have very much of a magnetic field, a very, very small magnetic field.
But isn't it true that without spinning magnets, you won't have voltage?
It's true.
So it's magnetism that creates the voltage. Is it decay of voltage that it decays back into magnetism? Is that it?
I'm sorry, could you say again?
Is it, anytime you have an electrical current, an electrical pulse, you have voltage.
Right.
There is a magnetic field around it.
Yes.
Since that electrical current was created by spinning magnets, and you know, the magnets spin, it creates the voltage, creates the electrical current. But then there's a magnetic field around that current, around that wave. Is that magnetic field that's around the current actually a result of the decay of the current? Is it decaying back into magnetism?
And I would probably start to narrow it down a little bit. At YouTube, I've got an illustration where I take a round magnetic ball, and I drop it into a piece of copper tubing, and it takes an inordinate amount of time for it to drop. You'd expect it to drop fast. But what's happening is that as that magnet passes the copper, it generates an electrical field and a magnetic field. So the magnet falling generates electricity and magnetism in the copper, and that magnetic field and the eddies of the ball falling actually slows the ball down so it doesn't fall as fast. So there's always an electrical component and a magnetic component of everything. But with most devices to measure them, it's very difficult to see the magnetic element of a battery until you load that battery down. Once you short out that battery, then you've got a pretty good magnetic field in the wire that's used to short the battery out. Prior to that, there's a bit of a field, but you mainly see the voltage.
Okay. And as I said to you previously, I never, ever ask a question unless I have a destination.
Right.
And you know that. So we'll underscore this question, and we'll come back to it a little bit later when we get into how it affects our minds. But let's continue with a description of this research that you were doing. So you've begun to notice a difference between North and South and the effect that the North pole of the magnet has and the effect the South pole of the magnet has. And is it in your research, has it been the case that the North pole of the magnet has positive benefits each time, or is it just sometimes?
It's been extremely consistent. So the North Pole has been beneficial time after time, very consistent. And the South Pole has been stimulating, sometimes irritating.
Mm-hmm. When you say stimulating, what are you talking about?
If I use the South Pole of a magnet with some plants in a pot, the plants tend to grow stronger, or at least bigger. They grow bigger. And I think it stimulates growth. But if you give them the North Pole, they just kind of relax and make beautiful symmetrical plants, but they don't grow as tall as plants that are exposed to a south magnetic field.
That's interesting. I spent 2 years on an island. This island is essentially on the equator. It's very close to the equator.
Right.
But I noticed everyone listening and knows about these pot plants that are called elephant ears. Well, those grow wild on this island. And folks, I have seen these elephant ears so large that you could completely hide a full-grown man inside of one if you just roll him up in it. They were that huge. They were like a giant blanket.
Ooh.
Now, I wonder if there is south polarity involved in that sort of thing, because I noticed a lot of other plants were sort of giants as well, and I saw some snakes that were. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. My guest is Dr. Gerald Epling, and we were talking about when we went to break, I saw a lot of, not everything on the island was giant, but I saw a lot of things that were giant in size on the island, and I wonder, is that, would that be because of the polarity being more south-oriented? But that brings up this question. If in the early stages of a baby's life, right after they're born, if you begin to expose them to this south polarity, would it cause them to grow larger?
These experiments I wouldn't recommend. But all of the studies with plants suggest that, yeah, if you give them a little south polarity, it, as long as it doesn't stress them too much, they might grow larger. But I wouldn't experiment with a baby. We have plants for that.
Well, yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's talk about what happens with north polarity. They don't grow larger, and they don't grow faster, right?
Right.
But what happens that made you think that it's positive, that it's a good thing?
Well, the voltages that I observe on the leaves are nice and robust with rolling frequencies, so I know that they're healthy. And the symmetry of the leaves is just extraordinary. The robustness, the leaves are often a deeper green, even when they're side by side, getting the same sunshine as a plant that did not give the get the good water when it was growing as a cutting. so it just,
now, when you say good water, you're talking about water that's been treated with this North Polarity.
Right, the North Polarity plus a complicated electromagnetic field and some sound waves.
Okay. All right. Now, as you said, we would not experiment on a baby.
No.
We have plants for that. And so you use the plants, and but you can make extrapolate from that some at least speculations and maybe hypotheses about the effects of this upon humans.
Sure. Now, the effects on humans, some of them may be good, some may be bad. If you have a normal cell regeneration going on, then at any given time, a certain amount of cells will more or less volunteer to die and move on if they've had some slight cellular damage. But if you expose the cells to magnetic fields, there is some research showing under glass that the cells actually survive. And some people have proposed that maybe the magnetic field helping the cells survive is a mechanism whereby cell phones and other electromagnetic fields might produce cancers in people. It's speculative, totally speculative, but it has to be considered. So if you're having, by example, chemotherapy, I wouldn't choose a magnet because it might keep some of the cells alive that you're trying to get rid of.
Well, I understand you saying it is speculative, but there's at least enough evidence that some European countries have issued warnings to people about the use of cell phones.
Yes, and it makes sense not to use a cell phone, especially the sub-gigahertz. There's I'm not seeing a lot of information at 2 gigahertz and above that shows problems. But the low frequencies appear to change people's brain waves, perhaps inducing alpha waves in some people. And even lower frequencies may be problematic, so I'd worry about those.
All right, so someone that uses a cell phone a lot, and it's the lower frequency cell phones, and it induces alpha waves, what does that do to them?
Just the induction of the alpha waves would actually make them feel good. It's kind of a nice state of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, we don't know. And the alpha waves that have been induced experimentally are transient. They come, they take shape, they're there for a while, and then they just disappear. So it's a very interesting thing that we don't understand. But I've often wondered if that sort of research isn't what's behind cell phone makers going up into the higher frequencies where we don't see these effects. Maybe.
All right. I want to go back to the question.
Yes.
Electricity. When I was in seminary, I had a professor who was absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
This professor was known as the world's leading authority on the Hebrew language and was recognized as such by both the United States government and the government of Israel. And he is the person that, I don't know that he did it alone, there probably was a committee, but he was very active in writing the curriculum that if you move to Israel, you have to learn to speak Hebrew and you have to learn to read and write it. Well, that curriculum that you're going to be exposed to was his product. Okay. He also had five earned PhDs, one in chemistry, one in physics, one in ancient languages. I can't remember what they all were. But in class, I particularly remember this, and folks will recognize immediately why. He was teaching from the book of Ezekiel, and he was dealing with where Ezekiel sees this. He describes what if you read the description and you don't know it's from Ezekiel, you don't know it's from the Bible, you will say, well, that's a description of a UFO, a flying saucer that landed.
A wheel within a wheel.
Well, it's not that one. There are two described in Ezekiel. This is one that lands and the guy gets out of it. The pilot gets out of it and he's wearing over his head something that looks like a crystal. He's, you know, he's in a space suit. Right. And so everybody was very, very interested in this, partly because I asked the question. I said, that sounds like a machine. That sounds like actually a UFO. And he had a twinkle in his eye, and he smiled, and he said, yes, it does, doesn't it? And then he went on reading the description that Ezekiel gives, and he was reading from Hebrew and then translating each of those into English. And there's one of the things that's described, he said, he brought it from Hebrew, and then he said, but you know, he said, the interesting thing about that, he said, you know, that word, when the Hebrew rabbis decided to translate their scriptures into Greek, and they came out with what's known as the Septuagint or Septuagint version, the Greek word that they use here is electra. And he said, you know, there's an interesting thing about electra, about electricity.
Right.
He said, we know everything there is to know about electricity, except what it is. We know how to generate it. We know how to step up its power. We know how to bring its power down. We know how to transmit it. And he said, you know, we can just do all kinds of things with electricity. We understand electricity, but we don't know what it is. And he said, for this reason, those who are philosophical about it have asked the question, is electricity actually the dividing line between matter and spirit?
Oh, that's an excellent question. There's evidence in my research that it is.
Now, with that as the background and with the question that I ask about magnetism creating voltage and then voltage having this magnetic field around it, it seems to go together. Magnetism and electricity seem to go together. You can measure them separately. But you seldom have one without the other.
Right.
All right. If you expose the mind, you expose a person to electromagnetic waves, is it possible to separate the mind from the consciousness? As electricity may be the separation, the dividing line between matter and spirit, could it separate mind from consciousness and make us think, that make us perceive things and make us think we are experiencing things that are not actually happening?
I'm not sure about the mechanism, but I'm sure of the results. Yes, you could use certain frequencies and have people experience things that are local to that person.
Such as? What would they experience?
Well, there's obvious things where you could take some microwaves, beat them together, and make sound in a person's head, and they would hear voices, and they could be very clear and very distinct. But the concept that the electricity is the link between the spirit and matter, that is fascinating. The first thing that I see in the plants is an electrical impulse that just occurs instantaneously with thought. And then after that, the magnetic and all the other comes. But this electrical impulse seems to be the first thing that occurs. And that's why it's so interesting to me. And electricity and magnetism always, you know, they're going to be together. It's just one might be so small you can't measure it with your equipment. But yes, I think that it may very well be the bridge between spirit and matter. If you could follow it back, if you could follow the right electricity, not the power plant stuff, but, you know, what's caused from thinking and from thoughts, that's what I'm chasing right now, is trying to find out where that comes from and how it travels.
Well, and see, the sort of the underlying basis for my question about mind and consciousness getting interfered with is that thought is a biochemical electrical activity. I mean, there are things that happen in the brain when you think. There are electrical impulses. There are, depending on what you're thinking about, there can be biochemical changes in the brain, but there's all kinds of electrical activity going on. And so if we even just use powerful magnets, can we not disrupt that process and make the mind think things that it was not thinking and was not going to think?
I haven't been able to do that with magnets yet. I have been able to apply them to a place that, you know, maybe I would work in the garden and have a slight swelling on a muscle that I hadn't used over the winter, and I've seen some reduction in inflammation. And I have tried them on my head, because I've had the same thought, what if I put this on my head, will I get anything? And the only thing that I've experienced, I've just used the north side, is somewhat of a soothing effect when I felt that I had a bit of a sinus congestion.
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back right after this. Don't put any magnets into your head, because we're going to do some heavy thinking on the way back. And welcome back. My guest this evening, Dr. Gerald Epling. Doctor, you were saying that you have used these magnets on your head and you noticed some beneficial effect on a sinus condition, right?
I did. And if I could move away from the research where you get like right number of people, have them all try this, and just speak subjectively and some wild speculation on what I think may be going on personally. You know, I found that if I can, I have a certain magnet that focuses the B field in an area of the brain right behind the forehead, just above the eyes. The brain's located and has two hemispheres in the outer areas, and there's the cortical region that goes on the outside of the brain. And most people are really familiar with the pictures that show the outside, but in that split region in between, there's cortex that goes back on both sides of the brain. And a lot of that is used in decision-making and in considering things and mental modeling and working memory, where you pull things into the mind, you organize them, you think about them. And I have found that there is a magnet. I've used it probably 15 times. Every time I put it on my forehead and just move it a little bit, I always have a soothing, relaxing experience. And my eyes tend to work, you know, very well. I wear glasses normally, but it's as if my visual acuity is slightly improved when I use it. So on a subjective basis, personally, I've had some good results using certain magnets I've been working with, focusing them on that area of the cortex. So what could be happening is perhaps the magnet is reaching out into the blood vessels, and as the iron-rich blood goes by, it's going to create a voltage, and that voltage could actually induce a better, higher state of consciousness, something where you feel more alert, more responsive, a higher state of consciousness, and that you could be more in the moment and aware, as opposed to a lower state of consciousness where you're perhaps sleeping or, you know, drugged, something like that. So I see it as a good thing, using the proper side. But just as the plants grow really large on that island you were at, and the tide probably is not very large, I imagine the colors seem more brilliant. I know I always thought colors were more brilliant near the equator. maybe that's just the right blend of north-south, as well as all the wonderful things that come with a tropical island, rain, warmth.
Yeah, huge snakes.
Yeah, that's I'm not so keen on the snakes.
No electricity. Yeah, it was all wonderful. Okay, now, Dr. Nick Begich has done lots of research, lots of work, and written books, and held lectures, and given demonstrations even before the European Parliament on mind control devices. And when we talk about mind control, it can be done, of course, with some people with hypnotism. It can be done with some people with drugs. But it has been demonstrated, and in fact, it is old technology. It's not new, that it can be done with electromagnetism, with a certain frequencies being transmitted toward a person.
Right.
And what they can do with that is they can speak directly into the person's head, and they can say, hey, this is God, and I want you to just sit down here on the curb and don't get up till I tell you. And I mean, they've done weird stuff like that as an experiment, and people do. You know, they look surprised, they hear the voice, they look around. Okay, this technology was also used in New York City. It was being transmitted from a billboard advertisement for a show called Paranormal State.
Oh, no.
And people were walking by this billboard and hearing these voices talk to them, and it was drawing their attention to the billboard for the TV show Paranormal State. Now, I don't know that is still being done.
Right.
But this is real technology. It actually exists. Now, I have a couple of sort of theoretical questions. First of all, isn't that only possible if you're disrupting the normal electromagnetic signals in the brain? And secondly, couldn't some type of magnet device be used to disrupt that signal and protect you from that mind control?
Yes, and yes. It disrupts it when you influence the mind, you're disrupting it. But if you do it right, it's more like hijacking the thoughts rather than totally disrupting them. And if you could hijack a person's thoughts, get their attention, and let them hear really clear voices in their head, not sort of muddled voices that are hard to distinguish, but someone saying very clearly, you should come upstairs and get a piece of cake.
Uh-huh.
Well, you might just think, maybe I should go upstairs and see if they have a piece of cake.
That actually was done in Moscow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was successful.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But now, you know, I'm making a bit of a value judgment, because I think when you do something like this inside a person's mind, you are disrupting. Even if all you're doing is hijacking. You know, if you hijack the plane I'm on, you've disrupted my flight.
You're right.
And I think it's an invasion, and it's a disruption of the mind, and really ought to be very illegal. That's my opinion. But let's talk about how to defend ourselves from this, because the technology has already moved out of secret government hands into a billboard in New York City. That already has been done. They did it last year. Okay, how can we protect ourselves from this mind control technology?
Well, from that particular technology, the two ways that I see, one, there's the way of using magnetic shielding, and that's complicated. You know, you look funny living in a magnetic bubble. But now the other thing is, have you ever noticed electronic equipment is really sensitive to magnetic fields sometimes? You can, you know, maybe have a car that doesn't have the right filtering on it, and it bleeds over on the radio. So what if you put a big magnetic field somewhere near your head? It might dampen out all of the other stuff because it just can't get through. So, you know, that's a potential way to distort the influence that people are trying to use against you. It's potential.
Okay. Now, all of this is I'm sort of beginning to pull this together a little bit now.
Right.
And here we go. Some of the technology that is available for transmitting thoughts to us can do it through the wiring in your house. And as long as you have electrical wiring in your house, thoughts can be transmitted to you. That doesn't mean they're doing it, but it can be done. The technology exists. Is there a way, do you think, that we could some type of device that we could disrupt with a magnet any of those kind of signals that are coming in so that they don't have the effect on us that were intended?
Sure. One thing you could do, I'm assuming that say someone wants to hook their device up to your wiring to your home, and they want to induce a certain frequency and then another frequency so that they beat together and influence some device in your home. Maybe they can influence your refrigerator and get something so that it sounds like a voice coming from somewhere. That's sort of a thing. If they're keeping a steady 60 cycles and they're just putting the signal riding on it, first thing you could do is put some coils on the input that pick up that frequency, whatever they're bringing in, and then rotate it 180 degrees and inject it back in so that it nullifies it. And that should work fine right there to take care of it. And then as far as putting a magnet around it to try to dampen it, that may not be quite as good. I think the magnets are probably... Yeah, I think I would go with coils and try to pick it up and then invert it and put it back in the line and nullify it if someone was modulating my house wiring. But it'd have to be a very complicated, very advanced sort of a setup to do that.
Well, I don't think so. I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
For under $100, you can buy a kit and put it together and transmit radio over the wiring in your house. All right, we have to take a break, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
Phoenix, Arizona. This is the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Gerald Epling. And, Doctor, when we went away for break, I had mentioned that for under $100, you can buy a kit, put it together, and then you can broadcast radio over the wiring in your house. Furthermore, every house that's hooked to the same transformer will get the same signal. It won't pass, it's not strong enough to pass through the transformer, but every house that's coming off of that same transformer will get the same signal. Now, all that's happening is you're inducing a frequency onto the wires. And the frequency of the human brain, I believe, is something around 12.7, isn't it?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that again?
The frequency of the human brain, I believe, is something around 12.7, isn't it?
It varies. You get into your delta waves down in the lower frequencies when you sleep. You might get down to 4 to 8 hertz, or you might get around 8 to 10 hertz and be feeling good. Or you could be running 20 hertz. There's some interesting things going on at 40 hertz. And on some freewheeling studies I've done, I can find things going out to 2 kilohertz that are interesting in the brain. But people mostly just focus on the lower frequencies, 40 hertz and below.
So all you would have to do is have one of these kits that can transmit at that frequency have one of these. They're called carrier radios or carrier transmitters. So if you have one that will transmit on these lower frequencies where the brain is operating, then you're in business, right?
No, I'm not sure. I'm thinking of that the power of the radio wave may not be sufficient to actually reach out to the brain. I think you might have to have a more complicated modulation scheme to actually get into the brain.
Okay. Okay. So an individual can't go put a kit together like this. But certainly the principle is the same. They're putting the frequencies on your electrical wiring.
Right.
And, you know, it's how would you determine if there is a frequency coming in on your wiring?
You can put a coil near the wire. And that's probably safest because then you're not directly touching the high voltage. 120 volts AC might be 390 volts peak to peak and shocking experience. You don't want to come in contact with it.
Right.
But maybe with a coil laid near the wires, and if you had an oscilloscope, you could look at it and then look at the different frequencies, and you could see what kind of noise you had or what kind of signal, who's talking over the transformer in your neighborhood and things like that. So
mm-hmm.
You could determine it fairly quickly with a coil and an oscilloscope.
So then, to protect us, once we know the frequency that it's coming in, you just make sure that all the electricity is turned off to the house, and you install a coil that picks up that frequency, and you turn it 180 degrees and feed it back into the line, right?
Right. That would be the good way to nullify it.
Okay, now what about if someone's transmitting these frequencies towards us and taking control of our mind so that we're hearing a voice or we're having an impulse to do something that is really not ours, it's being induced? How do we protect ourselves from that?
It's just good to know that people can send you information that you're unaware of. You protect yourself from that in the same way that you protect yourself from advertisements on television. Well, not usually I fast forward through those, but if you have to watch them, just pay attention to them and realize they're trying to get into your subconscious and analyze them, be very objective about it. Like, oh, this is an ad for a car. Oh, I have a car. Okay, I don't need another car. You almost have to enter, and it's fatiguing. It wears you down to have to do that sort of tendency. It's best to dampen the signal every chance you get, but if you can't dampen it, then you have to just be advised that, you know, maybe if someone's telling you to go out in the front yard and put up a tall tower, you know, think, and if the voices are exceedingly clear, you know, there's no confusion about this, somebody's actually telling you to do that, I'd start looking for electromagnetic interference. On the other hand, if the voices are kind of muddled, you can't really take them out, and you kind of got an idea they want you to build a tower, you know, you might go and seek help from a counselor on that to try to work through that, maybe get more rest, because that might be a problem in your own internal apparatus.
Well, it might be. I know there are people who hear voices that if the doctor gives them lithium, the voices go away, and lithium's not a drug, it's a mineral.
Isn't that wonderful? It makes them feel better.
Yeah, and the voices go away. So I know there can be organic problems that cause that. There can also be psychological things that can cause that. But, you know, what we're talking about here is someone who has no organic problem, no psychological problems, and they start to hear these voices. How can they tell the difference? I mean, they may think they're going crazy.
It's possible they could think that. And it's a tough thing, because if you go and tell a person you're hearing voice as a psychiatrist, then you kind of get on a short list of people who seem to be in a certain category, and that can be problematic in a number of ways.
Yeah, like you can be committed without wanting to be.
Yes, and that's no fun.
Mm-hmm.
I really love the law in the state of Texas. As long as a person is not a danger to self or others, leave them alone. They're fine. So if you hear voices and there's, you know, you think somebody might be putting them in your head or something, it's very clear, you could start to review it or think about it. You could do things like water often is like an attractant for radio waves. If you're trying to shoot a radio wave from one mobile unit to another and you've got a lake over to the right, you need to aim a little bit more to the left because it'll be pulled toward the water. So you can use that information and just go take a hot bath sometime and relax and see if it changes at all. And if it does, then you think, well, maybe this is an electromagnetic phenomena. But as long as you're well-grounded and it doesn't affect you personally, you hear this and you say, fine, I'm not going to go build a tower in the front yard. I need to get busy. I've got to go to work. You know, go ahead and go to work, do your job, come home. Then whose business is it? You know, it should just be your own business, in my opinion.
This kind of technology really could be used. Folks, understand what I'm about to say. I am not saying that this has been used in this way. Okay? I'm not saying that. But it could be used to activate someone to go on a shooting spree.
Ooh.
Nobody else hears the voices. This guy goes on a shooting spree, and he was activated to do that. He was incited to do that by the voices in his head that were being transmitted from someone. And you could use this literally to say, aha, you see, it was a terrorist attack. So we need to take more of your liberty away from you.
I don't know how you could have a person suddenly hearing a broadcast voice in their head that's very clear that says, you know, go shoot a bunch of people, and have that person actually go do it unless they had some other problems.
Oh, I think you can't. You have somebody that is really, really, really fervent religiously, and their God starts to talk to them and tell them to go kill this abortion doctor. And over a period of time, they try to fight that off. They shake it off. They say, oh, that's crazy. I can't. No. But it wears them down over a period of time. And then they go do it. Or you have someone who perhaps we'll just use Islam as an example. And you know, all of these infidels around you, you need to kill them because they're enemies of Islam. Now, I'm not saying that's happening, but think of the possibilities. That's why I'm trying to examine how can we protect ourselves from this, because you know you're making some discoveries about things that are beneficial to plants, and they are. But every discovery that is beneficial has a flip side. You know, I mean, atomic energy is just flat out beneficial and destructive. Depends on who's using it and how they use it. And you know, as we discover more about the mind, as we discover more about the consciousness, as we discover more about what is affecting it, we're also discovering how to manipulate it. But we, by extrapolation, should be also discovering how to protect us from being manipulated. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. The work that I'm working, it builds on work that was published by Andrea Marino and Becker. In 1982, they did the salamander experiment then. And prior to that, in the 1950s, if a person would search the literature and look for standing waves, because they didn't call them DC waves so much at the time, it's been well known that the voltage level of the body reflects consciousness and that you can influence it with drugs, but it's not so well known you can influence it with an electrical current draw or with a magnet. I'm suspicious that what I'll find somewhere along this route is a way to use magnets to actually increase your consciousness, bring you to a more alert status, and actually make you feel good. I have to look at, you know, I use this thing 15 times, and every time after I use it, I feel pretty good. There may be a subtle but useful effect there, and to the extent that it raises my consciousness, I think it helps me protect against other people who would want to exert mind control. But mind control is best done with insults to the body and with taking away people's liberty. The people who have most difficulty with their mind being controlled and going down a life path that may not be the best for them, you know, many times they've been beaten or molested. They've had these strong, bad physical insults to the body, where they've been put in some sort of a camp where they're trained to do things and beaten. Drug control, physical insults, association or withholding association, rejection, these are the things that build mind control that we're well aware of. And the EM we're not so well aware of. And my limited experience, I know very little about it. Most of it is from what I have read and from what I have heard as far as reports of people who have experienced some of this. And it would seem that it really takes a very focused effort on a group of people to do this. Although that advertising campaign in New York, that's news to me. I would have never thought it had gotten to the level now where they could beam the sound into an individual's head for an advertising campaign. So I don't even know how that works. But that is interesting.
Well, yeah. And, while I don't have anything against the show Paranormal State, I have tremendous negatives about that technology being used out in the public and being used for advertising. That you would go to prison for in Europe.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, that's a sacred area. You have to really be well grounded and understand yourself to survive in some of the things society throws at you. It reminds me, the analogy might be at the turn of the last century in the 1900s when widescreens were used and they would show movies, the great train robbery would arouse quite a bit of interest in people. But now we look at things blowing up on television and it has very little effect. It's as if we're numbed to all that, and I'm not sure that's good. But people build up an understanding that, okay, that's on the screen, that's not really happening, it's just some sort of a television show.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's happening, but it's not happening right here and now. Again, the answer is objectivity and being able to use your prefrontal cortex to really look at this and put it in order and put it in place.
Okay, I want to invite our audience to join us with any questions or comments they may have. And so I'm opening up the telephone lines. Folks, the main telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA or you're outside of Canada, you can call me at 623-444-5889, or you can send me a flash message by going to my website. Scroll down, you'll see the link that says flash message, and you'll also see it says you must be outside the USA and you must be outside of Canada. If you send me a flash message and your IP address is an American IP address, that means it's in the USA, it's in Canada, the filters will eat it. I won't even see that. Okay, we have telephones for you if you're in the USA and Canada, and I will even pay for the call if you need me to. I have a toll-free number. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and you're gone. Okay. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello and hello there, Gerald.
Hello.
Yes, you know, I take a stance that anything that I do not allow into my body and that is put into my body without my permission is a rape. And I think that any kind of mind control of any kind of frequencies that is being thrust into my system for any kind of mind control of any kind, I honestly say is a rape. It is a rape.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think these technologies, in the wrong hands, pose a very big danger, especially to our freedom and our liberty. And you know, I think even not just on a physical level, but I think even on a spiritual level too, because I think we made mention of the pineal glands earlier, and our ability to project our consciousness is centered around the pineal gland. And I think when these frequencies, you know, can affect the brain like that, you know, I think it goes beyond a violation of our rights.
It's a horrible thing to try to exert mind control on another person, and it shouldn't be tolerated. It's bad. And I'm not here, I'll tell you, that's just a bad thing. I totally agree with you. But if you're exposed to someone trying to control your mind, it's to your advantage to try to not be controlled. And sometimes that's fighting it, and sometimes that's just observing it. All advertisements are focused at trying to get you to do something. Persuasive arguments are focused on that, too. And it's important to try to make your own decisions. And what do you do, though, when you get these electromagnetic interferences? Now, that's a problem. So I think it's good to avoid them every chance you get. And I'm pursuing a line of research focused on magnetic fields that I think may provide some soothing. If you have soothing, perhaps some of that soothing is actually just the release of interference from electromagnetic systems around you. Dr. Nick Begich is just a wonderful guy. He's great research. He's done wonderful things with the Lay Institute here in Dallas. And he's pointed out that when he gets away from all of the electromagnetic influences, his body just relaxes and he feels better. And I think that is something that comes from not having the electromagnetic influence disrupt your thoughts or just sort of niggling at you. And, you know, denying your use of consciousness by being picked on or advertised to or distracted, that's a loss of opportunity to use your mind for what you need to use your mind for. So that lost opportunity is another thing that's a problem.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gerald.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. When we think, if I say nuclear power,
yes,
just that term, almost everyone has a picture in their mind of what they've seen on television with these bomb tests and the mushroom cloud and so forth. But, you know, nuclear power can be used to generate electricity. It doesn't have to be used in an explosion. And the same thing is true of this technology that you're talking about. It can be used for mind control, but it doesn't have to be. It has some beneficial things that it could be used for, and we'll talk about some of those in just a moment. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering, I got kind of two questions. Does he believe that,
I don't know. Ask him.
Okay. does he believe that this electromagnetism, electricity, and, let's say, sound waves, does he find that there's some correlation to them and that they actually can affect our everyday life or even our existence, you know, on some level? that's how we exist. And the second question is, there's a lot of people wear those, like, magnetic bracelets to try and bring their body into, a good electromagnetic, rhythm. Does he think that it actually helps? And then I'll listen off air. Thanks.
All right.
Kevin, I had a great deal of distortion as I listened to Terry, but as I understand it, it's a two-part question. The first part seems to be something about radio frequencies affecting the mind. Could you help me understand that?
Well, he wanted to know, electromagnetic coupled with some type of sound wave, are these things actually affecting us? Can they affect us in the way that we live and the decisions we make? And is it happening to us? And then he wants to know about these magnetic bracelets.
Right. Okay.
Let's just do the first one because we've only got about a minute and a half till break.
Sounds
and then we'll do the second one when we come back.
Right.
Well,
something that is, yes?
Yeah, go ahead.
So as a stressor, stress has been shown to shorten your life and give you missed opportunity. It can be fatiguing. So if someone's talking to you all the time and just, not saying anything important, like a television, that's a stress in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to focus your mind and try to get away from stress, but you can't escape it all. But I think the main thing is to try to encourage consciousness wherever you can. Sober, in touch with reality, consciousness through healthy living. I think that's the response that you need for that. And we'll talk about the bracelets when we come back, I suppose.
All right. Okay, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dr. Gerald Epling, and we're talking about magnetism, we're talking about electromagnetism, we're talking about its effect upon our minds, upon our thoughts, and possibly even upon our bodies physically. And that brings us to the second question that was asked, and that is, what about these magnetic bracelets? A lot of people are wearing magnetic bracelets that they are told will help put their body in balance. What about that?
That's an interesting question. I'm just going to focus on inflammation and longevity here quickly. Pittler, Brown, and Ernst, a Canadian group, studied the effects of magnets on health, and they came to the conclusion that the results they were seeing in the literature were so varied that they could make no medical claims for any magnetic field. So at this time, I think that's probably the way we should go, is that you can't really make a medical claim for that. So we can't tell doctors here, take this magnet, apply this right after the person's exerted, and they'll get better. However, if you want to improve your health or you want to try something, the medical position is it doesn't seem to hurt, as long as you don't have a pacemaker or an insulin pump. So go ahead and give it a try. And then here's one of the reasons why I think you might want to give it a try. In late 2007, November, Cassandra Morris and Thomas Skalik, I cite this in the latest BioExperience newsletter, they took some rats and put some histamine, induced a histamine reaction in the hind paw of a rat and measured it as it began to swell. And then they treated it with various magnets and various magnetic strengths. And they found at a certain strength with a negative B field, the inflammation was relieved after about 30 minutes. They induced another sort of inflammation in a different rat probably, and they found that it took longer for the B field, the negative B field, to reduce the inflammation. So here this rat, he has no expectation he's going to get relief. He's probably not happy. He's just had his little hind paw swollen, and the magnet reduced the inflammation, according to Morris and Skalik and their Department of Biomedical Engineering, University of Virginia Health Sciences Center, Charlottesville, Virginia, reputable researchers doing quality research. Now, here's what I wonder about those things. If the magnets are long and thin and the north side faces the body, then I can see how it would be consistent with what Morris and Skellig found, the negative B field helping you in the North Pole facing in. But if it's a round magnet and they drill holes and they kind of rotate, I don't understand that as well.
Like a bracelet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there are bracelets that have long, thin magnets that seem to be just the north side pointing in. But then again, maybe these bracelets are like cooking. Maybe you need a little bit of north, a little bit of south to stimulate and soothe. I don't know the answer to that, but I see no reason why you shouldn't feel comfortable trying them as long as you don't have any counterindications. Medical literature says, you know, it could be bad on a pacemaker. Well, watch your pocket watch, too. They're deadly on mechanical watches.
All right. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name is Aaron from San Antonio.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi. I want to take a skeptical viewpoint here. I don't know.
Okay, Aaron, your phone is very muffled, so I'm going to need you to speak up and speak directly into it.
Sure. Hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. I'm going to take a skeptical viewpoint here, if the doctor doesn't mind. I wanted to know if the doctor's ever seen the show MythBusters.
Oh, yes. I have seen it.
Well, they did an experiment on plants, kind of like the similar the doctor has done, where they tried to stimulate plants to grow and so forth. However, their data that they got didn't indicate any growth for, you know, they played in a controlled environment. They had a control that played rock music. The other one played, I think it was classical or something like that. And they noticed no difference between the two plants, the two greenhouses that they set up. So in a controlled environment, there was no difference.
You might want to check
so
that.
So I was just wondering what
the doctor. That's not what I saw.
I mean, he's obviously run experiments.
But then we haven't even discussed playing music and its effect. We're talking about electromagnetism and its effect. However, there is a library. There are libraries full of data from various scientists running various experiments, and I'm going to let Dr. Epling answer, but I have to tell you, if I have to make a choice between I'm going to accept the data from these scientists or the data from these guys working out of their garage on MythBusters, I'm going to take the data from the scientists. But Dr. Epling, I'm going to give you the floor, and you can answer that.
Yeah, Aaron, you might want to check that again. I believe that what they found was that the peas that they tried to grow, there was actually a difference, and therefore they called it plausible, but the sprinkler system, the watering system failed, the plants had dried up, so it was hard for them to get a difference. Also, if you look at the end of that show, the talented, I believe his name's Jamie Heineman, the fellow that was in the Special Forces, is that his name right?
I don't remember. I think so. I think you have it right.
Yeah, I think Adam was right there saying, "Oh yeah, sure, we've looked at this and that, and that's the way it is." But Jamie, you know, he was noticeably not chiming in, and I respect him deeply for that. I think he saw some of the effects. But if you'll recheck that MythBusters series, I remember them putting up a plausible plaque at the end of that, stating that yeah, they had some problems with their experiment, but you know, it's plausible.
But they found no reliable data.
Yeah, but again, Aaron, they're not scientists.
And they said it's plausible, as I recall. Do you deny that, or did you not see that?
I'm not denying. If I remember the episode correctly, they said it was plausible, but because they just found no, there's been the problem, and they did another experiment with. And it did have to do with electromagnetism, and they dropped, I believe, like eggs into like a pot of boiling water, and at random to see if they got any response from the eggs, any electromagnetic activity from the eggs, and they had like a little, you know, electrograph, and it didn't move on any of those
Yeah, so, and hey, the egg is a tough thing to hook electrodes up to. After Baxter put out his book Primary Perception, I was really crestfallen because, you know, here I was doing this plant research. It was good. Baxter put out his book. That's good. I duplicated some of his research. That's good. I went for the egg. Didn't get it. Thought, oh, wow. You know, Baxter must have some, you know, skill or talent that I don't have. And I was really kind of down about that. It took me months to figure out how to hook the electrodes up properly to a chicken egg to get the response. And that's a whole other issue. And besides, those were just voltage readings, and we are talking about magnetism. But I would encourage you to look at the ones where they hooked the polygraph up to the Dracaena and notice how the Dracaena responded. Just turn down the soundtrack and notice how the Dracaena responds to the threats and how the Dracaena eventually, just as if you torture a person enough, they just kind of go numb. The Dracaena essentially does that too. So I think their results were very positive. And I think they did, the camera work was beautiful on that. Talented people recorded those experiments with their cameras. If you watch them, you'll probably see something a little different than how you remember. And as I recall, the plant experiment with the peas was rated plausible.
Okay, Aaron, I want to thank you for the call. Let me say this, though, about, and don't take this the wrong way, folks. MythBusters is an interesting show. But watching those guys do scientific experiments, it's just about as authentic as watching the show Cops and thinking that what you're looking at is what being a cop is really like. Believe me, I watch that show Cops sometimes. Well, not very often, maybe once a year I watch it. And the stuff that I see them do things that we would have fired cops for. I have seen them do things that we would have fired the cop and charged him for doing. We would have charged him with malfeasance. But it's right out there, and everybody thinks, well, you know, that's the way it is when you're a cop. Well, I got news for you. That's not the way it is when you're a cop. Real cop work is very different from what you see on that TV show. Real science work is going to be very different from what you see on MythBusters. Okay, let's go back to the phone and caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Rex. Usually from Miami, but I'm in Montreal at the moment.
Oh, okay. Well, Rex from Montreal. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I had a couple of thoughts. you talked briefly before about the possibility there might be some positive aspects to this technology, and I was thinking of like learning foreign languages. I don't know if that's possible with that ability to get directly in the mind, but that would be something I could think of as maybe being a positive, if that's feasible. And then I have a question for Dr. Epling. With what you're doing with the water and the wine, there's a device I've seen advertised. I don't know a lot about it, but I know that it advertises that it can alter the bond of the hydrogen and oxygen angle in water, and that it has some beneficial aspects to it. I think it's supposed to be able to, like, pick up lots of impurities out of water and such. So I wondered if you think you might be affecting something like that in the liquids.
That's a great question. Both of those are. So, Rex, are you interested in learning French?
It's interesting up here. I'm at a disadvantage.
Oh, I am too. It's a beautiful language. I wish I had heard French spoken before I was 18 months of age. Apparently, the literature suggests that if you're a child and you hear it spoken, you're going to hear things that you just won't hear later. I hear these beautiful sounds, and they're nice people. I have no idea what they're saying. But as far as making you relax and feel good, any time that you are relaxed and aware, you know, conscious alertness in a relaxed state is a wonderful learning environment. The language thing's kind of tough. It really helps if you were exposed to it under 2 years of age, so at least you've got the phonemes. I know that Swedish, I just don't get. There are different oohs that people say, and I just smile. That's nice. That's different. Thank you. I don't hear it. So there's going to be a struggle there, but anytime you're more relaxed, it's going to be easier to overcome those things. Now, as far as the water and the wine and the 108-degree angle, I'm not sure we're changing the angle so much. I think that might be fixed. But I'm speculating. I haven't measured this because I just haven't spent the time and the money to go measure this. But I suspect that, yes, it has something to do with the hydrogen bonds. And I suspect that it's giving a different form to the things that are in the wine. Now, the things that hold that form, water molecules will come in and out quite rapidly. Martin Chaplin's done wonderful work on this in the UK. The form persists, but the molecules that come and go rapidly. And I suspect that Chaplin may be right about that, so I'm informed by his research. And sure, I think there's just something going on. Anytime you get change in pH, you've just done something to the hydrogen, how hydrogen's used in that, how you've made more bonds or less bonds. Something's going on. But I'm just focusing on the fact that it tastes good. And with a down economy, it's nice to take a bottle of red and make it taste a little better.
Rex, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. We have to step away for a break, folks. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and we have some flash messages that I want to get to. The first one is actually pretty long. It's from the United Kingdom, from Wraith, and it's actually very long. And several questions that are related to previous shows. However, the first part says, "Hi, Kevin. Enjoyed your shows so much I subscribed, and it's even better going over your archives. I've spread the word, too, so your ever-swelling audience should swell a bit more." Thanks, Wraith. All right, we have one from Blue in Australia, and Dr. Epling, he's got two questions for you. First, what is your take on the use of magnetics in weaponry towards an enemy? What effects could this have on an individual or on groups?
I've not weaponized this at all. I don't deal with weapons to harm people with magnetics, so I just don't do that.
Yeah, but could someone do that?
It'll be really difficult. You see, in an electronic field, you've got a pretty good chance of controlling because we've got the state of the industry up to the extent that we can do a lot of manipulation. But the manipulation of magnetic fields has not been really moved into because they're unwieldy. They're hard to control. By the time you get a good magnetic pulse going, you know, you might have a nuclear event, in which case everybody knows that's a bad thing. And that would be the magnetic pulse from that might be heavy enough to really influence you. But there would be other things that would be there, too. So it's
yeah, you might kind of like be influenced by the fact that you disintegrate.
Right. There's the downside.
Yeah. Okay, the second question. Second question. What's your take on Earth's magnetic fields being destroyed by the use of HARP technologies?
I don't think it's so much destroyed as it's slightly modulated. As a matter of fact, the Earth's field right now is a half a gauss, and that's pretty good in long-term historical terms. And the North Pole is moving at about 50 kilometers per year, heading from Canada over to Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something going on inside the Earth. Could be a fusion reactor, some kind of a nuclear reactor kicking out a big field. Now, HARP, I think HARP's more focused on the ionosphere and somehow hurting. It could possibly, from what I hear from Nick Begich, it could possibly harm people by some of the things it does in modulating the atmosphere. But now, I don't see that as a problem with the Earth's magnetic field at all.
Okay. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin.
Hi, Stefan.
Hello, and fascinating show, fellows. Dr. Epling, I was wondering, in regards to your views were mostly on magnetism, but I was wondering what Have you noticed if there's any benefit to sleeping with your bed towards the South Pole or towards the North Pole? Is there anything relevant with that?
Personally, I tend to go for the North Pole, just me. Haven't really noticed anything that I could document. I'll move my bed around. Be honest with you, I'll move my bed around, pointed at different angles until I get some good night's sleep, and don't know exactly why. It could be a number of things, but for me, it usually ends up being pretty much north or a little bit northwest. Don't know why.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, same here. The other question I have is a really quick one. In regards to computers, can working with computers alter your mood and make you more moody and maybe depressed and sometimes stuff like that?
I think so. I think the result is just any sort of a job that makes you sit for so long. I know it makes me tired. And if I'll get up and walk, check out bioexperience.com, the September newsletter on dealing with stress, because it's a stress. You have to sit in a certain position. Your back gets stiff. But get up and walk 30 minutes at a time, and that'll help relieve a lot of that stress. It used to be, I think, maybe more of a consideration electromagnetically when we had these big CRT tubes showing us images, but now that we have these flat screens and it's all low level, low current, I don't worry about it electromagnetically at all.
Well, thank you, and fantastic show, Kevin.
All right, thanks. Dr. Epling, you know, we live in an electromagnetic soup.
We do.
And it has been said to me that you really cannot increase or decrease it. You can only modulate it. Would that be correct?
Pretty much. If you live in a city, everyone's going to be using their little wireless routers, and you need to modulate it. You can shield from it,
mm-hmm.
and a big magnetic field can make it go around you and leave you alone.
Okay, let's go back to the phone for our final call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Bonjour, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Dobre vece. Yes, I'm Kevin.
Como callez-vous? Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there for the laugh. Dr. Epling, are you familiar with the works of Marcel Vogel?
Vaguely familiar.
You know, he did experiments back in the 60s with the magnetics and things of this nature with the plants and animals. He would take, like, crawfish and boil them and have electrodes hooked to the plants, and then the plants would react to that.
Right.
And he also, of course, worked for IBM, and he's the one that created the first floppy disk, magnetic floppy disk. So I just kind of wondered how much you knew about his work.
Well, that little bit that she told me, and a little bit more, there are a lot of people who have seen some of these events over the years. There was a fellow that worked for the Department of the Navy that actually replicated some of these experiments. And his son, a talented fellow, I believe he's from Tennessee, called and mentioned that his father had a plant wired up and he was carrying another plant out to transport it, accidentally dropped it, pot fell, broke, and the plant inside registered that. These plants are in touch.
Consciousness, doctor, consciousness.
Well, you know, it could be God reaching out through plants. I mean, it is his universe. There sure could be some residue of God consciousness in everything. And if it's lively, it's growing, it's healthy, it looks good, that's probably a godly thing. So that, you know, it could be something to that. I don't understand how that works, but I like to think of it that way.
All right. Mike, I want to thank you for the call. I have to move along because we're almost out of time, almost out of show, but thanks for the call. You know, I wish we had time, doctor, for us to get into that whole debate again about whether plants are conscious. You know, there's a difference between being conscious and being able to do cognitive thinking, but you know, there can be a level of consciousness, I think, about plants, just as there is about every living piece of biology that we call an animal, whether it's one cell or up. There's some type of consciousness involved, and I think that may be true of plants too. But then again, I think that the material world is a manifestation of the consciousness. And therefore, we can't say I have consciousness, nor can we say a plant has consciousness. We can say consciousness just is, and we're all bathed in it.
It's a valid perspective.
Yeah, I know it's one you don't subscribe to. But I think something along those lines may be the case. And I think when we build technology that can modulate somewhere in that consciousness, somewhere in that seam between consciousness and mind, I think we're at that point when we use it for that, we're really tinkering with something that is very, very, very dangerous to us, or it potentially could be. But I like what you're doing, and I hope you continue. I want to thank you for being with us. If you'll stay on the phone with me for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.